Good morning, Lighthouse. Welcome, welcome. I enjoy on Sunday mornings to just see all the fellowship and the love. Makes me think of the scripture where it says how great it is for brethren to dwell together. And I just see that, and that's what the church is all about, coming together with one another. So we are excited about a few things we have going on in the next couple weeks. And today we are going to start with a video to talk about our Holy Week events. So turn your attention to the screen.
Hi everyone, I'm Trisha Klaus and I'm the leader of the prayer team here at the Lighthouse. And we are here to invite you to what we are calling the Holy Week. Now this is going to be a series of events that's going to lead into Resurrection Sunday. We are really excited about this. Now to kick it off, we are going to be doing a corporate fast. We will have sign-up sheets in the back. You can do a 6-hour, 12-hour, 24-hour, whatever it is that you feel the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. So please join together with us as we fast.
Well, hi there, family of God. My name is Tammy, and I'm a part of the prayer team here at the Lighthouse. And I want to invite you to one more hour in prayer and one more hour with Him. This is going to be Wednesday, March 27th, after family night from 8 to 9. I hope you make it. I hope to see you there. Bye.
Hey guys, I'm Tasia. I'm part of the prayer team. On Thursday, March 28th, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., we are going to be hosting a live and in-person prayer chain here at the church. From hour to hour, we want to be connecting from person to person so that there's no moment spared left open. That chain needs to be linked together. We need your help to cover these 12 hours in prayer by committing to just one hour, or as many as you feel led to press in while you're here. You can find signups at the back table, at the back of the church. You can look for one of us to help guide you there as well. We really need you to help bring our chain together, to just saturate this atmosphere in prayer. Bring heaven down to earth. I'm ready to see a move. Are you?
This is Trisha. I'm part of the prayer team also. We would like to invite you to join us on Friday, March the 29th, for a night of prayer and praise. We are calling this night Had They Known, because had the leaders of the world known at that time, they would have never crucified the King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts, strong and mighty. He is the King of Glory. Again, join us Friday night, March the 29th, from 7 to 8:30. We'll see you then.
Hi, I'm Natalie, and I'm with the prayer team. To end our Holy Week, we're going to be meeting out here on Saturday, March 30th, from 9 to 11. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have live worship and prayer. Come on out and join us as we celebrate the Lord together. We really hope to see you there.
Hey guys, it's me again. Now you've heard from the prayer team and all the events that we are going to be having during our Holy Week. So just to recap, Tuesday we are going to have our corporate fast. Don't forget to sign up. Wednesday we are going to have one more hour with Him. Thursday we are going to have our live prayer chain. Again, don't forget to sign up for that. And on Friday we are going to have our Had They Known praise and worship night. And then Saturday morning, 9 to 11, we are going to have praise and worship. We hope to see you there.
All right, we are excited, excited, excited. How many of you know that prayer changes things? And we don't need to depend on someone else to pray for us. We can go right to Christ ourselves. So I encourage you to take part in this week. We need each and every one of you to get connected and start praying and interceding. And we are believing great things are going to happen this week. So right after service today, there's a table in the back. It has some sign-up sheets for some of those days we talked about, and we really, really encourage you to sign up, pick some days, get it on your calendar, and make plans. Make it a priority. Everyone say priority. Sometimes we make things a priority that shouldn't be, but this is something that should. So let's make sure we're taking time to pray. And that is the week leading up to Easter Sunday morning service, Resurrection Day. And on that Resurrection Day, we are going to start here with a sunrise service at 7 a.m. You can see the sunrise through these big, beautiful windows. And we're going to come together and take communion and just have some fellowship early that morning, thinking about what God did for us. And then we're coming back at 10 o'clock for another service. So those are two separate services. You're welcome to attend either or both. But I encourage you, if you're coming, bring someone with you. Easter is one of those days of the year that people seem to be more open to getting an invitation to church. So invite someone. Invite a lot of someones to come with you that day. And then be in prayer that we believe God is going to change lives on Easter Sunday. Amen? Amen. All right, also want to let you know we're looking for a few people to help out with some ministries. Our media team needs a slide presenter. So that's just sitting at the computer and pushing those slides up when they need to be presented. And then we're also looking for a social media influencer. Some of you are like, what's that? So that's not for you if that's what you're thinking. But some of you young people in here are like, ooh, that sounds exciting. I love social media. So if you love social media, let's use it for the Lord. Amen? So if you are interested in either of those positions, please see Brother Ryan or Sister Trisha Klaus, and they can get you all hooked up in ministry for the Lord. All right? And my last announcement is we've been having our Wednesday night family nights, and we've been doing a series for the adults called Second Mile Leader. And if you're missing it, you're really missing it. It's some really good information. We want you to be here. So even if you've never came to a Wednesday night, I encourage you to come check it out Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have kids or grandkids, bring them because we have teen service. We have lessons for the younger kids. We have something going on for everyone. So come join us Wednesday at 7. And at this time, Brother Ryan is coming with our call to worship scripture.
Good morning. So one of the stories that popped in my head this week was out of the book of Daniel. And I think it's kind of a theme we might have going on here at the Lighthouse right now, which is prayer, community, family. Everybody heard of those, right? We've all heard of them. And I wanted to remind people of Nebuchadnezzar, if that's how you pronounce it. He had a bunch of people that he thought were interpreters, or they were like sorcerers and mediums and all these things. And they always told him what he wanted to hear, I think. So he would say, you know, I had a dream last night that there was water and I was in it and I was struggling, and they would come and tell him what that meant. And usually it had something to do with, you know, cocktail lemonade and sunshine and palm trees and all this stuff. Well, Nebuchadnezzar had a few dreams that he didn't really understand, and they scared him. So he didn't want to go to these same guys with the same request over and over. So he said, I want this time for you to tell me the dream. And what does it mean? So basically, he was calling the bluff of their idols, of their lies, and of their false gods. He was calling their bluff because he really knew this time was different and he needed to know what it meant. And they said, well, we can't do that. You have to tell us the dream first. And he said, I'm not telling you the dream. Does everybody know that story? So Nebuchadnezzar got mad when they said, there's nobody. Nobody on earth that could do this. So he got mad and declared, I'm going to kill all of you guys, every one of you. Anybody that has ever given me a word or a message or an interpretation, I'm going to send my army out. We're going to slaughter every one of you. Well, this got back to Daniel. So he went to the king and he said, just give me a minute, will you? So is everybody with me? Now I want to tell you what Daniel did. Then Daniel went to his house and told his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah about this matter. Come on. Guess what he asked them to do? He urged them to ask the God of heaven for mercy concerning this mystery so that Daniel and his friends would not be killed. So Daniel didn't just go to his room by himself in his little prayer closet. He went to his friends and he said, "Join me in prayer. Join me in our request to God that he would show mercy on us." And it says that God revealed the dream. And it says God gave Daniel the interpretation. And it says, Daniel then praised the God of heaven and declared, "May the name of God be praised forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to him. He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And he reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells in him." That's what it's all about, church. If you got something that's deep in the dark, way down here that you're trying to suppress, go to your friends. The Bible says to reach out to each other, pray for one another, pray with one another. God will give answers. He'll reveal things. And that's what, as we lead into this Holy Week, as we lead into Resurrection Sunday, we need to be joined together as a family in prayer. We need to lift each other up in prayer. When you see a brother or sister struggling, we need to pray with them and love on them. When you see a brother and sister succeeding, we need to be rejoicing with them, not be envious of them. Come on, we need to be happy for them. We need to be with them in thick and thin. Amen? So if you believe that with me this morning, we want to stand up this morning. We want to praise our Lord. We want to pray together and praise together as a family. If you'd bow your heads with me, I'd like to pray over this morning's offerings. The ways to give are on the board. Lord, we thank you for being who you are, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you would give us the revelation one more time, again and again if we need it, Lord, of who you are and what you can do, what you've done and what you're going to do. Lord, just give us the hands to praise you and the voice to praise you this morning. Let our hearts praise you this morning in Jesus' name, Lord. We ask you to bless this offering, bless these tithes and offerings as they come together this morning in one place to serve your kingdom. Bless those that give and bless those who don't, Lord. We just ask for a blessing upon this whole community, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Let's get ready to worship. Let's get our hearts and minds set on God this morning. You're welcome to come forward to worship or wherever you're comfortable this morning.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise in the valley. Praise on the mountain. Oh, praise when I'm sure. Praise when I'm doubting. Praise when I'm out. No. Praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the waters my enemies drown in. As long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise when I feel praise, cause I know you're still in control. My praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is a shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I won't be quiet, my God is alive, so how could I keep it inside? Praise cause you're sovereign, praise cause you reign, praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise cause you're faithful, praise cause you're true, praise cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise cause you're sovereign, praise cause you reign, praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise cause you're faithful, praise cause you're true, praise cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. So how could I keep it inside? I won't be quiet, my God is alive. So how could I keep it inside? I won't be quiet, my God is alive. So how could I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Lord, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Thank you. points us to the purpose that God has for us. And it gets us out of our distraction mode. I was thinking of Paul and Silas when they praised the Lord. They had a lot of distractions. They were looking at death. They were looking at the end of their life. And they praised him. They got their mind focused on him. And that way they were prepared, because when they got their freedom, they didn't just run and hide in their homes. Amen? They ministered to those around them. And I believe this next song, this is a song for our church in this season. And when we praise and worship him in our day-to-day life, he's going to prepare us so that we can go and affect the hurting. We can reach out to those that need our help. And we're a body. Sometimes we think, so-and-so is better at that. I'm not enough. I haven't been saved enough. I'm not strong enough. But Christ makes us enough. And the Lord gave me a picture of all of us coming and bringing a hammer ready to build this community of faith. And we all have our hammers, but when we got together, we just started comparing each other's hammers. And well, that one's better than mine. That one's gonna do the work better. But that's not what God wants from us. He wants us to bring the tools that he's given us individually and uniquely, and not compare them with each other, but to know they're all for a purpose. And so when we do that this morning, we're gonna be able to go to the sick, go to the hurting, go to the lonely, go to the desolate, and we're gonna be able to heal. We're gonna be able to deliver through the power of Jesus Christ. So as we sing this, I want you to think, the Spirit of God is upon me. Yes, you, yes, me, not just the pastors, not just the leader, but it is on you to do the work that Christ has called you to do. So let's sing this morning, and let's really realize what Christ has empowered us to do, not what he expects us to just do by ourselves.
time I hear this song, the Lord just keeps reminding me, this is his promise for this church. This is his promise of what he wants to do this year in us. But how many of you know that a promise of God is not a guarantee unless you step in faith with it? And what I felt as we were just singing this, I felt the Lord say, are my people willing? And so I'm going to ask them to sing it again. I want you to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. I want them to sing it to you. And I don't want you to sing it back. I want you to talk to the Lord in your own words, in your own way. And you make a commitment. If you're willing to step out in faith this year and say, yes, God, I recognize your Spirit is upon me for a reason, for a purpose, and I give you my yes. I'm not going to depend on somebody else to do it for me. Because what God is asking of this congregation, are you willing? And church, if we all are, I promise you, we are going to see things like we have never seen. God wants to do something so big, but it's going to take all of us. And I can't tell you what your part is, but he can. And you need to be willing to have that conversation with him and say, yes, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Send me. What do you want me to do? And so if you're willing today, as they sing that to you, the Spirit is upon you. Will you give him your yes? You have your conversation with your Savior. And give him your yes. And that's from the youngest to the oldest. You teenagers, you kids, I'm not just talking to the adults here. We need you. God wants you to be a part of this promise that he's given to this church.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you. Upon you.
bring it down a little bit. Let's sing it again. Listen to what you're singing. He's worthy of it all. All glory and honor goes to Him.
You're worthy of it all. For from You are all things, and to You are all things. You deserve the glory.
Come on, congregation, sing it.
You're worthy of it all.
You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord.
You're worthy of it all. For from You are all things, and to You are all things. You deserve the glory.
Now, can you, with your own words, just your words, begin to talk to God right now. So begin to tell Him how much you love Him, how much you appreciate Him. Come on, let's show some gratitude right now for everything that Jesus has done for us. God's moving in this place right now. And your praise and your thanksgiving is what opens your heart to receive what He wants to impart in you right now. Thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I'm so grateful for the great sacrifices that You made in my stead. All that You have given me for my benefit that did not benefit You in any way, except that we could have a relationship. You did it all for us because You love us and did not want to be separated from us anymore, Father. For that, we are so grateful. We are so grateful, Lord. We are so grateful. Forgive us, Father, of those moments of time where we do not express gratitude. Forgive us for the times that we get in ourselves so much and get focused in our own thoughts and attitudes that we forget how wonderful You have been to us. Forgive us, Father. We turn away from that right now. We turn away from that mindset of thinking, woe is me, how terrible life is, how everything is bad and nothing is good. For Father, we have You and You are good. We thank You for that right now. We turn away from those invasive, intrusive thoughts that try to control our mind and manipulate our will right now. We turn away from those thoughts. We think on good things, things that are pleasant and holy, things that come from You, Jesus. We focus our hearts and minds on You so our lives may follow after You. Holy Spirit, we ask You to cause us to understand this is greater than the power of positive thinking, but this is us connecting our faith to the Word of God, and then You, Holy Spirit, stirring us up and transforming our lives to match and reflect the image of the One who gave it all for us. I pray right now, Lord, that You would help us to begin to receive this revelation if we have not yet, and help those of us that have to walk in a deeper understanding of this revelation, Lord. That You've already done all that we need. You've accomplished the work, and that work is perpetual. It keeps going and going and going. It never stops. And so therefore, we can stand in faith in You, and You can transform our thinking and our minds, Father. We don't have to be focused on the negative, on all that's wrong, on all that's not working, on all that's not going the way we want it to go. We can focus on you, Lord Jesus, the Lord of our lives, the one who's ordering our steps, and we will find progress through the process that you're taking us through because we trust you, Jesus. We trust you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As we begin to do that out of our hearts, out of the inner man of who we are, will begin to flow rivers of living water that will not only benefit us, but will begin to benefit the world around us, because you have anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to open up the blind eyes, set free the captives, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. By your grace, Father, we're receiving this right now in this moment, this precious moment that we're having with you, this sacred time. I thank you for it right now. Now, Father, you see every need that's in the building, and you see those who are carrying burdens for others that have need. We lift them up to you right now, our needs. We present them to you because we know you're good. We know you're holy and we know you're righteous. We know that you will take care of them how you see fit, Father. We present them to you right now in prayer. And we thank you that you're a good God and that you're moving on our behalf, because the work that you have done is ongoing. It doesn't stop. We thank you for that right now. You're saving, you're delivering, you're setting free, you're healing, Lord. You're renewing, Father, right now. You're renewing. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn.
on his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
God is doing something very sweet. It's sweet. There are things that he gives us as a father, and the way that we can receive them, it's all dependent upon our openness to him. And what he's doing in us right now is something that's very sweet. Sometimes we don't see it that way because our perspectives have been tainted by the world we live in. And so he's saying, stop looking on the things you know and have perceived, because you've learned them in this world. Don't lean on earthly wisdom and knowledge, but look to me. Look at my face. Look me in the eyes and realize what I'm doing in you is something that you need. And it's actually a sweet thing that I'm doing. It's because he loves us, church. He loves us. God's speaking to us right now. We need to receive this. If you're willing, this is what I want you to do. Just lift your hands as a sign of receiving it. Surrender to God and receiving God speaking to your heart. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, right now. We receive it with thanksgiving and praise. Even the areas that we've tried to keep hidden from ourselves, that we've forgotten about, Lord, that you're dealing with right now. God, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for your sweet manifestation of your presence that's here right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To behold him, church. There's nothing better. To look upon him and see him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We're going to stay right here in this attitude of worship and service unto God. There's something we want to do this morning. We want to pray for Pastor Debbie and Pastor Alyssa this morning. We are in our church in a season of change. And it's not a bad change, but people don't like change. So it's hard for them, and we have put it in a connotation that it's a bad thing, but it's not. And so we've been trying to walk through this process, help people understand what we're doing, why we're doing it. And even our leaders are feeling shifts. They're feeling like we're supposed to move in different directions and go different ways. And they're staying here in the church working. We want you to know that. But they're following the leading of the Spirit. And the best way I can say it to you, those of you who know the scripture, Isaiah the prophet told his people, especially the ones that were barren, the ones that had not bore a child, he's speaking to the barren womb, and he said, make ready, enlarge your tents, stretch them forth, make room, because you're going to begin to bear. You're going to begin to bear fruit, and you're going to deliver that fruit, and your family's growing. And so we're making these decisions based on our leaders coming to us and saying, hey, you know, we feel shifts and changes, but also based on what we feel God is leading us to do as your pastors, to say, let's make room. Let's make room. And let's make room for other people to move into ministry and do things. Let's make room for more people to come into this family. Let's make room, get this one, this is a hard one, for people to come and go. For people to come and go. Right? I need you to know that as a pastor, we don't hoard people. We're not about building the kingdom of the lighthouse. We're about building the kingdom of God. And so we're making room and doing all of that. And so our kids pastors, youth pastors, are moving in different directions now. And that's opening up more room for other people to move in and do things. And I want you to know this. Your kids aren't being dumped or left. And many people know this already. We've had conversations with people preparing. We've assembled a team. But we are praying and asking God, what are the next steps for that ministry? We ask you to do that. But we want to bless these two women of God who have served faithfully for 10 years. So we want to come and pray for them. Is there something you want to share, Pastor Alicia?
So I just wanted to share a little bit of direction. As you see, Debbie has stepped in as worship leader, and she's doing a great job with that, and we appreciate that. She's going to continue to administrate some of the kids' ministry, but we've established a rotation team for Sunday mornings. So I'm a little excited because we started as youth pastors, and Pastor Joe, myself, and Pastor Darius are going to rotate with Sister Natalie on Sunday mornings and pour into the kids for a little bit, just until we get some clear direction from God on what the next step is. And then Sister Alyssa, who, again, as we've said, has served faithfully for 10 years and poured into these children, is going to take a bit of a sabbatical and just wait for God's direction for the next step in that time. And so we want to pray over them. And I want to encourage you today, throughout the day, just show appreciation. Share some words of encouragement to these ladies, because kids' ministry can be very thankless.
Yeah.
Kids don't often think to say thank you for all that you do, but we appreciate their work. So if Debbie and Alyssa would come on forward. And we are going to ask all of the teens and kids that have ever had these two as your kids' pastors to come up. And we want you to help us pray over them. They have planted seeds, some that we have seen growing, some that may be lying dormant right now, but we believe God is faithful. And those seeds, the Word of God, has been planted. I've heard these ladies say there's no junior Holy Ghost, right? They were back there having service with these kids. It wasn't a babysitting service. It was worship and seeking the face of the Lord. And if everyone else will just reach their hand this way, and we are going to pray.
Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we know that no earthly recognition can take the place of the rewards that are laid up in heaven for the work of the ministry. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for future hope that we have in you. But God, we pray right now that you would let these two women of God understand and know our love for them, our appreciation for all that they have done to serve in your kingdom, for the great effect that they have had in ministry, Lord. God, we understand in ministry sometimes it can be difficult and we can see the struggle. But God, there's also fruit, and there's fruit from this ministry. And we thank you for that fruit. We thank you that it's not just fruit, but it has been more fruit and much fruit, and that your fruit will remain because the seeds that have been sown of the gospel of Jesus Christ that they have planted in the hearts and minds of children and teenagers. Now, God, we just pray that your anointing rest upon them through this change and transition, that you continue to guide them, that they understand and know that ministry is not over, it's not done, but it's a new season and then it's a new day. And with that comes an increase, Lord, not a decrease, but an increase of the power of your Holy Spirit, of knowledge and wisdom and understanding of operating and flowing with you. And Father, we just thank you right now that they are moving into that, both of them in full power, in full wisdom and full understanding. We just pray the love of God overshadow them and hold them through all things, Lord. We declare blessing upon their lives, upon their children and families, Lord. And we thank you, God, for allowing them to be a part of this family, to serve in this capacity, Lord, for so many years. We thank you, God, for the relationships that were made. We thank you, Lord, what you're doing right now, strengthening, building up, Lord, building up our most holy faith. And God, we honor them this day. And as we've already said, we understand no honor here on earth can compare to the eternal weight of glory that waits them for the work of the ministry. But God, we pray that they would feel and understand and know the love of the Lighthouse as we honor them this day, and we bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
I did want to share one more thing. Alyssa actually has felt the call to go back to school and further her education. And we believe that that is a God-given desire, that we're going to see some ministry produced in that when that's finished. So be prayerful, because that's not always an easy step. How many of you would like to go back to school now at your age? I'm doing it, I promise you it's not easy, but when God tells you to do it, it's important to be faithful to that. So we believe that we're going to see fruit from that as well.
Amen. Amen. Why don't you give them another hand for appreciation? We're thankful for all that God is doing, all that God is manifesting in and through our lives. Amen. This time we're going to dismiss our students to go to their classes. We have a teen class this morning. We have Firehouse Kids ages 7 to 12. We also have a preschool class and a nursery class. And as we're saying here, we're always working together to make sure we're providing ministry for your children. Not babysitting. We don't babysit. We minister to kids. And actually, sometimes, as a pastor, it can be frustrating for me, because you can take this how it is, and if it offends you, tell the Father on me, all right? It's okay, you can be a tattletale this time. Go tell God on me if it offends you, but that's not the intent of it. The intent is not to offend you. The intent is to spark you, right? King James Version says in Hebrews chapter 10 that we're supposed to provoke one another unto love and good works. That's a strong word, to provoke, right? So I'm provoking you right now. And I get a little irritated sometimes, because when we dismiss the students, it almost feels like the life leaves the room. Now, not all the time, but some of the time. And anybody that's pastored or been a minister understands what I mean by that. Is there is an energy in here, and then it's gone. Right? And I understand we have different responsibilities than kids do, and we have older bodies who have walked this earth longer, and they feel differently than kids' bodies do. But if we can approach it as Jesus told us to come as children, there should be an excitement from us adults to come and spend time with our Heavenly Father together, right? And that's what we're doing here. That's what this is all about. And so I'm just trying to cause some trouble this morning and stir you up before I get to preaching. So maybe I'll have some help preaching. I guess not. I guess not going to have any help this morning, but that's okay. I'm going to preach it anyway. Praise the Lord. I am having a little fun with you, but honestly, we have to understand that that group of our church adds something to us that we need. Amen? And this group of our church adds something to us that we need. And we are better together. Remember that phrase? We're better together. And we're going to love like Jesus, and we're going to lead like Jesus. And we're going to see God build a faith community, not only in this church, but in this region. Can I get an amen on that? Now, that doesn't mean you're saying yes. That means you're saying, so be it. Let it be so by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that there is a move of God taking place. There is an influence of the Spirit of God that's happening in our region. And during this time of sacred rain, you are seeing all the problems. Why is that? Well, we're getting ready to move into, and some farmers are probably already doing it or they're preparing to do it. We're moving into planting season. It's where they sow the seed in the ground. And when the seed, the ground is only has seed in it, the farmer drives past the field. He doesn't see the fruit of his labor or her labor. What do they see? They see dirt. But if they don't just see dirt, they see the problems. Oh no, there's some weeds growing up there and I need to do something to take care of that, because if I don't, then when that seed comes up, it's going to get choked out. And oh, that's a low spot. It's holding too much water. I need to do something about that. I need to check my drainage tile right there, because if that holds water, that's going to be a spot that isn't going to be productive for the seed. It's not going to bear forth the fruit. And so I need to go make sure that that tile is clean out. You see all the problems. Now I need you to hear me, Lighthouse, because this is the season we're in right now. People hear prophetic word come forth like, we are in a season of sacred rain. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? Yes, but it also means that it's not a season of fruitfulness. The rain comes so that the fruit can be produced. I'm believing that after these 90 days, we're going to see an influx of fruit, of healthy fruit in our personal lives, and in the lives of the people we've been ministering to and praying for like we never have before. But right now, in the rain season, it can get hard because all you see is the problems. You don't see the fruit. This is good preaching, Pastor Joe. What do you do in that season? You let the rain refresh you, calm you, and let you stay at peace. Because the other thing that's good about a rain season for a farmer is they know, hey, as long as it's raining and there's seed in the ground, we're going to be okay. And I know I got seed in the ground and I know it's raining. As long as it doesn't stop raining right now. Now, I understand you don't want too much rain and all that. That's why it's a sacred rain. God knows what He's doing. Can I get a witness on that one? God knows what He's doing. Let's trust the process, right? So as we're walking through this season of sacred rain, we know, okay, I'm going to sit at peace and I see those problems, I see those issues, but I also know that the husbandman, the wine dresser, the one who oversees the field is going to take care of it. It's called faith. And I'm stirring your faith this morning so that you can understand what God is doing in us right now. And man, we can come together on a Sunday morning. We can have ourselves a wonderful time. We can feel that peace, that rain. We can feel that nourishment from the downpour of God in our lives. And we leave here and we go smack dab right front face in our face of all the problems. How many of you know when there's a lot of fruit growing up, you don't always see the weeds? Sometimes you can't see the weeds because all the plants have come up. You see, we like to do that, don't we? We like to say, hey, let's just have a season where we're so fruitful we can ignore the problems. But the goodness of God is moving in our lives right now and allowing us to have a moment that is so sacred with Him that He's saying, you know what? This issue, that thing, when this is taken, we're gonna deal with this, we're gonna deal with that. And He's doing it in your individual lives. And some of you may be sitting here this morning going, man, I just feel like life's been a mess. Well, maybe it's because it is. Maybe your Heavenly Father has been running the cultivator through and breaking up the fallow ground that has not produced any seed for a while, that doesn't have any seed in it, so that He can put some seed in your heart and in your life. Maybe it feels like a mess because it is a mess. And you want to say, I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus for making my life a mess, when it's your Father doing it. Told you I was here to stir up trouble today. I'm going to provoke us, me too. Because God is doing a work in us right now, and I don't want us to move on from worship and segment this service like, okay, we had praise and worship, wasn't that wonderful? Now it's time for the message. No. We're leading into what God has been speaking to us the whole time. We need to turn our eyes back on Him. We keep looking at the mess. Turn our eyes back on Him. Focus on Him. One thing God said to me just lately, because every day I pray, just about every day, just almost every day I pray this to God. God, I trust You. I rely on You. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, you do? Then why do you have such a struggle with the process? And I said, well, because it's the process. The process is never fun. The process is hard. But He said, if you trust Me, then you'll trust My process. Ouch. Got a little whipping from the Holy Spirit there. If I trust God more than just with my lips, then I have to trust the process He's taking me through. You following me this morning? So if He's taking me through this process that I don't necessarily like, and I'll just tell you right now, I don't like it. It's not fun. It's never fun. But I trust Him. And because my eyes have been so focused on what's going on, all the distractions around me, all the stuff that's happening, and how I feel like it's all a mess, because that's where my focus has been, then that's where my feelings, my will, and my mind has been concentrated. And the Holy Spirit is telling us this morning, stop looking there and just look to Me. Trust Me, trust the process. Amen? So we've been talking about being whole people. And this morning we're going to continue on this series of wholeness. And this is going to help us understand how to trust God through the process. I'm going to tell you, it's going to help us in a big way this morning, because I've already begun to hear the Holy Spirit say some things that we're going to share with you that I know is going to help you because it helps me. And we started out just talking about the fact that God wants us whole. And so let's just review that real quick there. I want to read 1 Thessalonians again, just so you know where we're coming from. Chapter 5, verse 23 says this: "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you, set you aside, something precious to him, and sanctify you completely, or the whole of you. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I want to remind you of the definition of wholeness: the state of forming a complete and harmonious whole, or unity. Or it is the state of being unbroken or undamaged. And the first message I preached to you concerning this, we talked about the Greek word sozo that is found in these scriptures when Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." Your faith has made you sozo. Your faith has saved you and made you complete in Jesus Christ, right? So we talked first then about the body as we begin to break it down. And Pastor Alicia gave us a message about the body. And then last week we heard Brother Wagers preach a message about Jesus Christ as we're in this holy season. And I don't know if you picked up on it, but he kept talking about the body of Christ over and over again. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. And how in his body he absorbed and took all the punishment, took all the shame, even took upon death that was really ours. We were the ones that were meant to die because of our sin. We were the ones that were meant for the punishment because of our wrongdoings. We were the ones that were meant to be beaten and bruised according to the law of God. But he knew we could not handle that. We could not receive that. And if we did receive death, we would enter an eternity of hell and punishment. And he did not want that. The Bible teaches us that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would have eternal life. So he sends Jesus, and in his body, he takes upon all of this for us so that he can now sanctify our bodies while we're here on earth. And here's what you have to understand. We're kind of walking through this backwards because we dealt with body first. Today we're going to deal with soul and then lastly spirit. But you have to understand the progression. For us to be healthy and whole, it starts out in our spirit, translates into our soul, and then what's going on the soul is reflected in the body. And Pastor Alicia did a great job of talking about scriptures and what God says about our body and what he wants about our body. And I'll just tell you this right now, especially in our society right now, we're too focused on the body. I'm just going to get right down where you live. And I told you I was going to stir people up today. And you need to hear this too. For too long, the church world has been too consumed and too focused on our bodies. So what do you mean by that? Well, you know, I go to church, so I wear these clothes. I dress this way. I look this way. I act this way in my physical body because I'm a Christian. And we thought that if we could help people control their actions in their body, and the way they dress, and the way they look, and all that they do, that would help them be a Christian. No. You can't do it. That's leaning on the strength of your flesh. It doesn't work. So we've built religious activities to help us, and then we've misunderstood the reason for those religious activities. That's why we have a saying now, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. Because we've had to try to get people to understand you need a relationship with Jesus Christ before you can ever see a change in your life. But now we've gone so far that direction that we've left out the acts that we have to do in our physical body because of our faith. By grace we are saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? That's what Paul says. But then James tells us, but I will show you my faith by my works. So it's initiated, faith is initiated by faith in Jesus that starts in the spirit, moves into our soul, but then it is reflected in our bodies. You following me? Trying to help you understand. So because of this relationship, now there are religious things I do. I do them religiously. Let's use it in that context as an adverb, right? Is that the right tense of it, an adverb? Religiously, L-Y is usually an adverb. That's what I'm going to say, and any English teacher can correct me. What do I do religiously because of what God's done in my soul, in my spirit? I go to church religiously. Why? Because I know that the assembling of the saints matters and it's good for me. So my body shows up. Sometimes even before my mind does. Some of your minds are starting to catch up right now. I pray religiously. I talk to God so that I can cultivate that relationship with Him. And what I do sometimes in my body is I posture myself in bodily form so I can let my soul know what I'm doing. So I can stay focused. Well, what do you mean? I kneel. I kneel and pray. Because I humble myself, and actually barak, which is a Hebrew word that has been translated to praise in our English, actually means to bow before God and praise Him, to kneel. So sometimes I posture my body by kneeling, talking to God. Sometimes I sit, and I have places in my home and places here in the church where I know I'm going there to posture my body religiously so that I can communicate and have that relationship with God. So I'm trying to swing the pendulum back here. We go one way all the way over here, and we're to an extreme, and then the church goes, oh no, that's not right. So we bring it back and we get it right for a while, and then we take it all the way over here. No, God wants us to be whole, whole. So there's things I do in my body, and God has directed me to do in my body because of what He's done in my soul. And this morning we're going to talk about the soul. And I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. I'm going to read just this short passage of Scripture, give you some explanation, and I'm going to move into what I believe God wants to speak to us this morning concerning our soul and us being whole people. The Bible says this, 1 Peter 1:9. Obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Everyone say, my soul. Now, if you read the previous verses and take it in the context of the Apostle Peter's writing here under the influence of the Holy Spirit to the church, he's telling us that, listen, we have been born again. There's something that took place in us, a new birth that happened. But in that new birth, there's this relationship, but it's completely based on faith. Because Peter, being one who had saw Jesus, recognized that there are people now who have come to this saving faith, that have experienced this born-again experience, that they've been born again or born of the Spirit now. And we're going to talk about that next week more. But we've experienced this, but they have not seen Jesus. They know Him without knowing Him. They experience Him without seeing Him. And with this born-again experience gives us a hope of a future that's going to come,
of a future salvation. Now, in the context of this, we have the great understanding of the word salvation. Here we understand that if we've been born again, that salvation has taken place. It's done. It's a finished work. But salvation is not just a past tense word. It's also a present tense. So he says here, let me read it to you again, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls, that means then, not only was salvation past tense and we've been born again, but I'm walking and living in a present salvation. That it's always going, it's ongoing in my life. God is still saving me and God is still saving you. But then previous verses talk about that future hope, which says that our salvation will be completed when we reach that place of glory. So salvation is not just past tense, or and it's not just present tense, but it's also future tense, past, present, and future. And I know this is sometimes people getting all the predestination stuff and things like that. And I'm going to tell you right now, you turn your back on God, you've backslidden. And you can't expect the blood of Jesus to cover you when you've come out from underneath the covering. So that's not what I'm preaching this morning. And we can debate that and argue that sometime later. But I need you to understand that God has saved you once you received Him as your Savior. That's past tense. You were born again. But you're also living in this sanctification process that the God of peace would sanctify you wholly or completely. He sanctified. So you're still being saved right now. And when you step from this life to the next life, into glory, hallelujah, you will receive your eternal salvation. So it's past, present, and future. That's what this scripture is telling us. But where does this take place? It's not the body that's being saved. Because glory, hallelujah, we're getting a new one of those.
Yes, we are.
No more back surgeries.
No more.
No more sickness. Yeah. No more aches and pains. No more hair falling out. I don't know if we have hair in heaven or not, but I keep praying for an afro. When I get to heaven, I want me a big old afro. It's not in the body, church. It's not in the body. Where does salvation take place? Where does this new birth take place that now is ongoing because we're living out this new birth? Because we are a being now that's been born again. It's in the soul. The soul. Now here's what you got to understand. The soul doesn't die. The body dies. The soul doesn't die. Whether that soul has been born again or not, it does not die. Sobering thought. That's why it got quiet in here. The soul is eternal. And that's why it's important that the soul is born again. So that it is awakened unto God. And now your spirit man is connected to God. And your spirit connects your soul to God. So we're going to deal with some things in the soul this morning. I wanted to set that up for you. And I probably preached too long on it. Because I need to keep moving. But I just love scripture. I love how it makes it plain. But the soul is our inner person, our emotions, our mind, and our will. You following me? I got two people following me. So I'll say it again. Our soul is our inner person. It's our mind, it's our emotions, it's our will. It's the psychological aspect of our life. And here's where I want you to understand something. Science and biology and all of the studies of the human being, all the studies of this physical world, although there are some people who want to put it at odds with the Bible, it's not. You need to understand that. Here's where they miss it. They think they can take the study of what God has created to explain the Creator. You can't do that. He's outside of His creation, so you cannot describe Him according to what we know and can study here. You following me? But we can study ourselves, know about ourselves, study this world, know about this world. It doesn't negate that He's the Creator. I'm just going to keep on preaching. So, our inner person is the psychological part of us. It's the affecting or arising in the mind related to the mental and emotional state of a person. That's what the psychological part. It's the self-consciousness or awareness of oneself, one's appearance, and one's actions. So actually, what we talked about before, the body is controlled by the soul. And we're aware of these actions in the body because of our soul. And it's also the place where we relate to others, how we interact with the world. So it is the soul that is the part of us that longs to know and connect with God Himself. And it is also the part where we connect with others. Now, I'm going to give you a real good education here that we don't seem to understand in our generation and in our society. When we connect with people, it's not just physical. Our connection is not just physical. When you make it like that, you become animalistic or like an animal. We are not like the animals. God created us differently. And the Bible teaches us that when He breathed life into us, which is the only thing that He created that He did that with, there are some things He did create with His hand. There's some things He spoke into existence. We are ones that He touched the ground and created with His hand. But then after He created with His hand, He did something He didn't do with any other creation. He breathed His breath of life into us. And the Bible says this, we became a living soul. Wow. So when we interact with people only on a physical level, what the lie is in our society, church, the lie is it's trying to take away from the Word of God and what God has spoken and what God has said. You see, every sin and the actions that come with sin, all it's about is to make the Word of God a lie. If you can get that concept down, then you'll understand when the devil's trying to trick you. Because you go back to your Bible and you read your Bible, and anytime that you're wanting or feeling or seeing or hearing something that goes contrary to the Word of God, that's sin. And the actions that follow that sin are only there because it already took place in the soul of man and now the body is following. You see, we do not just connect physically with people. That's why you can't just be going shacking up with people and think it's okay. Yeah, I said it and I'll preach it. Because your soul is what connects you with people, not your physical body. It's something that happens on the inside of you that matters. In that place, Christians, is called the temple of a holy God. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And if that Spirit dwells in you, you can't be taking the temple of God, the inner man of you that's connected to God, and be hooking it up with any old thing and doing any old thing in your body. Amen. That's why it matters. Because now you're trying to turn what God said into a lie. Wow. The soul is where the connection takes place. The inner man. And what we intake through our body, our eyes, our senses of smell and hearing and taste and touch, seeing, it begins to affect our soul. That's why we got to get away from this religious thought that if I can control what people do in their body, I can make sure they're saved. No! Let's get to the heart of the matter. The soul. Because if I get my soul born again, and I get my soul right, my body will follow. My body does what my soul tells it to do. You sin in your soul well before you ever sin in your body. It's the soul. It's what connects us in relationship, and it is also the part that longs for God. And this is where we get ourselves in trouble, because we don't understand the longing and the desire that is in us is actually for God. Then we start searching and looking every other place in this world to feel that longing and desire, and it will never satisfy. It can only help for just a moment. It can make us forget. It can appease that desire just for a moment. But then when you're done, you feel worse. You feel sick inside yourself. You feel like, man, I'm still empty and I need something. What is it you need? You need a relationship with Jesus. Amen. So, this is where it takes place in the soul. And the Bible says this. Now, this is pivotal. And we quote this all the time. We say this all the time. But we don't have a clue what we're saying. We don't. Let's just be honest, okay? I told you I'm here to provoke you today. You should have wore your steel toes this morning. The Bible says this, and ye shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Why would God command us to love Him that way? Why? Because this is the inner man. And He didn't even leave out any part of the inner man here. I love it. He didn't leave out any part of the inner man here. He hit every part to make sure that we love Him with everything that we have. And if we love Him that with everything that we have inside of us, our bodies will follow. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, let's start then with the heart, because that's where He starts. That is the place of emotions, desires, and wishes. Some of you need to write this down. It's going to help you. This is the part of your inner man that holds your emotions, your desires, and your wishes. The heart is the relational dimension of us. That's why we talk about the heart all the time when it comes to love in an affectionate way, in an intimate way, in a relationship that God designed between a man and a woman to become married. Because that's where you experience it. But it's also the place you experience relationships called friendships. It's where you connect to people. It's in your heart. It's what you feel. And isn't it interesting that it's your emotions that are wounded by people you're in relationship with? That's what gets hurt first, because there's expectations, because you have come into a bond with a person, and I don't care what kind of relationship you're talking about. It could be a relationship with a family member. It could be a relationship that's, what's the word I'm looking for? That's platonic, like just a friendship, but what's the one that like me and you have? Intimate relationship. Any of those relationships come with expectations. Because you've made a connection in your heart. And once you've made a connection in your heart, you have expectations from that person. When those expectations aren't met, you get hurt. Now, isn't it amazing that God says this? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He has anointed me, first to what? Preach the gospel to the poor. The poor are the people who don't have it. Has nothing to do with your monetary bank account. The poor are the people who don't have it. That's the poor. So we're going to give the good news, that's what gospel means, to the people who don't have it. But the second thing we're going to do is we're going to bind up the brokenhearted. Why? Because that's the part of the soul where you feel all those emotions and desires and wishes. And that's the part that gets hurt. How many of you have ever said, I got a broken heart? Or you've said that about someone else, they got a broken heart. It's because they've been wounded, they've been hurt, they've been offended. And that's where it takes place. It happens in the heart. Everybody say heart. Making sure you're with me. So, it's where love begins. This is what you got to get a hold of this. It's where love begins. And it's the love of, and God said this, He commanded us. If that's where love begins, in the heart, and He says this, to love God and love others, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Then what He's initially saying is the whole relationship, even with God Himself, begins in the heart. Why does it begin there? Because chances are, if you've lived in this world for any time at all, you are living with a broken heart. And so for God to be able to begin to work in your life, the first thing He must do is bind up your broken heart so that you can feel right again, so that your emotions work correctly, and so your wishes will align with what God wants to do. So love begins in the heart, and the heart has to be mended and put back together. This is where we miss it, Christians. We come in connection with one another, and Jesus told us offenses will come. They're going to come. Be prepared. Be ready. But we think, well, but we're supposed to be God-fearing, God-loving people. We would never hurt each other's feelings. Really? And so we think, because God is now in our heart, and God is in our brothers and sisters' hearts, everything's going to be okay. It's not. So if God saved us and we're born again, but God is also saving us, come on, you guys getting this? That means that He's still binding up any broken hearts that happen after He enters our heart. You see, the God part of our heart isn't broken, but sometimes the relational part, that when we connect with others, becomes broken. And God heals that. God mends that. God fixes that. And He makes sure that no offenses come where a hardened heart comes in us. You see, that's where religious people go when they realize that something's happened in their heart, the part of their soul that experiences those feelings and emotions, and it hurts, and they don't know what to do, and they think, but I'm wearing the right clothes, I'm saying the right things, I'm going to the right church services, I'm reading the right Bible verses, and everything's supposed to be good, and it's not good, so therefore I must build a wall to strengthen my heart and guard my heart and make sure nobody can hurt me again, and they become hardened hearts. And it's all based on our feelings and emotions. New coin phrase in the world of psychology is your emotional intelligence. And I'm going to tell you right now, Americans, we are emotionally stupid. And God wants to take us to the next level because He wants to work in our soul. I got to keep moving. I don't have enough time to do all this. Keep preaching, Joe. Keep moving, Joe. Okay. So the next part of our soul is our mind. He says, with all your heart, soul. So he covers it all in the soul, but he's talking about our heart first, and then he goes to our mind. Our mind is our intellect. It's the activity in our brains, all right? It's where we deliberate, I couldn't say that word at first, process, reflect, ponder, and remember. Now this is where we get ourselves in trouble. Because we have an experience in our heart that hurt and brought an emotion. That emotion then connects to our brain and takes and puts a memory in there, logs that memory, and now says that anytime we hear, see, or feel anything that's similar to that, that's bad, stay away from that, pull away from that, because I remember what that felt like last time. This is the humanistic way of viewing the world. God's way is different. I'm trying to teach you both, okay? So this is where all this stuff happens, right? This is the part of us where knowledge takes place and where we learn about who God is, who we are, and how those two things coincide. This is also where wisdom is imparted. Now, I did some research here, and I've been in this. I've been trying to give credit to the lady that said this, Jenny Catron. But you have to understand that this is very true. And this is what God's getting at when he says, if you love me with all of your heart, which is part of your soul and all of your soul, everything that encompasses, but also with all of your mind, then I can begin to help you. Because that means that you're loving me and you're trusting me, and I can heal you and I can set you free, and I can even transition the way your mind is thinking by renewing your mind. I don't have time to go on all the scripture verses, but the Bible talks about renewing your mind. The Bible talks about the heart being even deceitful because of the feelings that we've experienced. And we have to have our faith in God. And so if you remember the original verse I gave you, is it is that where our faith is completed. Let me just read it to you again. Here, obtaining the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls, right? So the outcome of faith is the saving of our heart and our mind, our will, our desire, our emotions, everything that we're fighting and dealing with. And we think to ourselves, well, yeah, but am I supposed to just keep letting myself get hurt over and over and over again? Is that what God wants? Because I thought that I had intellect to learn something, to gain knowledge and wisdom. Well, there's where you got it. Wisdom. It's not just knowledge. It's wisdom. This is the other thing we're lacking in our society right now. We have all the knowledge in the world, but we have no wisdom to go with it. So we don't know how to carry out the knowledge we have. So we say things like, well, that person is toxic. You just need to stay away from them. Well, that person, they just got issues, and so you better watch yourself. Don't get in a relationship with them. And then you abandon people. You abandon people. Now, I understand that there over a series of time, when you have had relationship with people and that relationship has become so stressed and so fractured that it's just not repairable at that moment, that you do have to say, okay, I'm keeping you at arm's length now. Because that's what the Holy Spirit has instructed me to do. You understand the difference? And then what you do is you continue to pray for that person. Now, I'm just going to use you as an example because we know we're good, right? So this is not true. But we, you know, me and Ryan have been through life together and been through stuff together, and we see a repeat process. And let's just be real. If you got a bird's eye view of it, you see it's on both sides. Ryan thinks it's all on me. I think it's all on him. But everybody else sees they both messed up, right? But because of all the stuff we've been through and the rivers we've crossed and the bridges we've burned, now that relationship is strained. Now, if we are men of God, we can have a Barnabas and Paul moment where we have a riff. And you can go ahead and take that John Mark, but he's going to quit on you. And I ain't letting anybody quit on me anymore. So I'm going to find somebody else. Hey, Silas, you want to go with me? You guys that know your word, you know what I'm talking about. And we go our separate ways, but we also know that's still my brother. And the work that he's doing is still good. And I've been in the trenches of ministry with him. I disagree with him right now and the people he wants to have around him, but I'm in the trenches with him, and I know he knows his stuff, and I know he's preaching a right word. So we're going to go our separate way. I'm going to take Silas. He's going to take John Mark. And guess what? Because he's got more patience than I do, he can deal with John Mark. Newsflash, maybe John Mark left because of Paul. Oh, you can't say that about Scripture. Yeah, I can, because Paul was a person. He was not Jesus Christ. Whatever happened, happened. But then the Bible also makes clear that after they go their separate ways and they can continue to conquer the world for the kingdom of God, all four of them now, not just two, there must have been prayer for one another, because Scripture also lets us know, hey, they mended that relationship. I'm giving you that example so that you can understand that when we go through stuff in our souls, there may be moments of time where we have to hit the pause button and say, okay, let's go our separate ways. I love you, you love me. Let's just agree to disagree on this one. Move forward. But I never stop praying and loving that person. Because when I do, now I cross over into the earthly mindset, and they're my enemy. They don't like me. They did this on purpose. All these feelings and emotions start lying to me, and then these thoughts come into my mind, and it's creating chaos in my soul. And all the while, the Holy Spirit's going, hey, Joe, hey, just Joe, calm down. A still small voice in us. Joe, just listen to me, Joe. See, he's not going to yell at us, because that creates more chaos. He's bringing peace. And if Joe, I'll say it like this so you don't get offended. If Joe can shut up and listen to the Holy Ghost, Joe's going to be better off. Sometimes we just don't shut up and listen to the Holy Ghost. But they did this and they did this. Yeah. And when I go down there, let's just be honest. We all go there, right? Maybe I'm the only one. I'll tell you, I go there in my head. And I start complaining and whining. And yeah. And you know what? I hear the Holy Spirit remind me. The Bible says he testifies of Jesus, right? He'll say, yeah. Yeah, Jesus, he had it easy, didn't he? It's so easy for Jesus. I mean, he went around for three and a half years with a dude that turned his back on him. Just straight up turned his back on him. And right before he did that, he washed his feet and loved on him. And then looks at him and says, now go do what you need to do. Well, Jesus had it so easy, didn't he? He didn't have anybody treat him bad. Only the whole world was trying to kill him, and then they eventually did. See, I'm sarcastic, so that's how I hear God speaking to me. I'm not saying God's sarcastic. I just hear it that way because it gets through this thick head of mine. And I'm going, okay, Lord, I hear you. If you could bear that in your physical body, understanding that you were operating through a soul that moment, and you were leaning on the Holy Spirit like I'm instructed to do, and that's what I got to do. And so the thoughts that flood my mind, the feelings that are in my heart, all that's in my soul and all the chaos, I have to begin to listen to the Holy Spirit give me clear direction and guidance. And I must keep loving and praying for people no matter what they do to me. Because if I lean to my own understanding, then what happens is I become tainted, and every person that approaches me to have true relationship with me, I see through the glasses or the lenses that says, watch it, watch it. Oh, you see that tendency? That's what so-and-so did to you, and you know where that led. You better cut that person off right now.
switch to this one. Hey, that one works. Hey, how many more mics we got? I'll run through all the batteries. I'm trying to help you understand how the soul works. I know it's 12. That's why they cut it off on me. Now listen, we got one aspect that I want to hit. Strength. And we often equate this to our physical bodies. But I want you to see this in a different light. Our strength is also our will, our desire, and our inclination. It's our inner ability to push through or fight for what we want. This is more than just our physical strength. It is also the inner strength. It is the place where our heart and mind join forces within our soul. It's how people do great feats sometimes. Now, I understand some of it's influenced by God or spiritual forces, but sometimes, how many of you have ever heard somebody, they just willed it, right? They just willed it, right? It was that inner strength that where all of a sudden their heart and their mind was connected by their inner strength and their soul carried them through in the moment. As a wrestling coach, I've seen wrestlers win matches in this way. They actually were not as talented as the other kid they were wrestling. They weren't. But they just refused to lose that match. Something got inside of their mind that connected to their heart, their feelings, their emotions, and all of a sudden their inner strength rose up and they just wouldn't quit. They just kept going and going until they got that last point and won the match. What God is telling us here is if we will love God with all of our soul, our heart, our mind, and our strength. Listen, there's something to be said about spiritual stubbornness. And we think stubborn people are hard. Actually, we need more stubborn people in our society right now who won't back down from the Word of God, who won't say, oh, I guess I'll just compromise because that's what I'm supposed to do. No, you got some intestinal fortitude that the Holy Spirit connects to and says, I ain't backing down from this because I know this to be the truth. And I'm not going to hurt people and offend people with it, but you ain't pushing me around, devil. I'm not moving. When it, having done all to stand, what do? I stand. Yeah. Amen. How do I do that? Because I love God so much that I don't care how much people hurt me in my heart. I don't care all of the crazy thoughts that I have that are intrusive, that try to come in and dictate to my brain what I need to do and lie to me because of my feelings in my heart. There's a strength that rises up inside of me that says, I'm not leaving Jesus Christ. And if he told me I got to love my brothers and sisters, and if I got to fight this to the death, I'm going to fight this to the death. And I'm not going to do it on my own strength. I'm going to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside out of me, and I run to Jesus and I say, help me God, I need you. I turn my life over to him because I love him with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. My whole soul loves God. See, you're going to get hurt. Your feelings are going to get hurt. Your emotions are going to get hurt. You're going to have thoughts that are not godly thoughts. Thank God we don't have to act on them. And thank God he doesn't hold it to our account when we have those thoughts. He knows it's a thought that went through. And we deal with that thought. We renew our mind. And we continually be saved. Over and over, we get saved from that crisis in our mind. We get saved from that heartache in our heart. And we all of a sudden remember what the scripture says, that it is the joy of the Lord that is my strength. It's what rises up inside of me. And aren't you thankful it's not our joy? It's not dependent upon my joy or your joy. It's the joy of the Lord. And when it comes from God himself by his Holy Spirit, he just delivers it to us, right? Just come on down and say, I see what you're going through here. Some joy. Boom. That all of a sudden something rises up in us. And we say, I don't think so, devil. You're not taking my family. You're not taking my life. You're not overtaking my mind. You're not running my thoughts. God has given me victory over that. Jesus Christ died and was punished for it. And the crown of thorns was shoved on his head so that my mind could also be redeemed. So when my mind is redeemed, my heart is redeemed, my strength is redeemed, therefore my soul is redeemed, and I will walk with God. We preach to ourselves to get ourselves where we need to be. If you can stand to your feet, this is what I want to do this morning. If they can get some music playing, some canned music playing back there, this is what God laid on my heart to do. And I know I preached long. I'm sorry. I'm doing better. Come on, give me affirmation. He's doing better. Doing better. I'm getting better. Getting to the point faster. This is what God laid on my heart to do today. You see, the Bible talks about the soul in many different ways, and I just scratched the surface for you this morning. But one thing the Bible says is that as pastors, we're the overseers of your souls. And I can't even give words to describe to you the weight of that responsibility sometimes and how that feels. Sometimes I go before God for you and I have no words to say because the responsibility is so great. And I say, God, I see their souls. I see broken hearts. I see minds that are attacked. And I see strength that is weakening. And I just say, Jesus, they need you. They need you, Jesus. And I'm reminded by the Holy Spirit that as your pastor, as Alicia's your pastor, the only thing we can do to be proper overseers of your souls is to give you Jesus. That's the only thing we can do. We counsel you, we love on you, we try to give words of encouragement, and all of that may be helpful at times, and I hope it's never hurtful, and I'm sure I've tripped over my words and said things wrong, and it's never my intent, it's never Pastor Alicia's intent. But when it's all said and done, the only thing that we can give you that's going to help you is Jesus. And you have to understand and know yourself how to build that relationship with Him. You yourself have to come in contact with God. See, we can't be a priest in the way that we are a go-between for you. No, you directly have to be in contact with God. Jesus has to be your Lord and Savior, not just ours. You have to have the wisdom and understanding and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and He needs to be revealed to you. And so, praying for you this week and knowing that we're talking about being whole people and understanding how to have wholeness of soul, I was asking God, how do we impart this? Us knowing that we are the overseers of their souls. And God said, serve them communion. Because in doing so, you're giving them me. And you're putting them in remembrance of what I did for them. And I don't just come to make them look like Christians in their bodies, but I came to save their souls. And so this is what we're going to do. I want everybody that wants to receive this morning, and some of you may not, I want you to come forward. Just come forward and line up here in the front. We're going to do this together. But anybody that wants this, I want you to just come forward and line up in the front. And we're going to do this differently than we usually do. And if you have appointments and things to get to, you're dismissed. And I mean no anything bad by that. I understand we have things going on today. But this may take a minute. I'm just warning you, this may take a minute. But we want to just love on you as your pastors. And what we're going to do is we're going to serve you this morning. We're going to serve you, Jesus. Because that's all we can give you. But I'm also tell you this. It's the best thing we can give you. And so we're just going to go down the line. We're going to start over here to my right. And we just want to serve each and every one of you communion. We'll take it together, so just wait. Did we miss anyone who wants to receive this morning? Communion is a holy moment with Jesus Himself. And we do this remembering what He's done for us. Not just in His body for our body, but yours for our soul. And through His body and shed blood, He rescued our souls. If you need your soul healed this morning, there's a hurt in your heart, there's intrusive thoughts in your mind, if you feel your strength weakening, God's going to heal your soul today. Not because you eat a cracker or drink juice, but because you do it remembering the work that Jesus Christ already did for you. And His salvation is not just a moment, but His salvation perpetually goes on. And on, and every hurt that's in your heart, He heals. And every mind, every thought in your mind that's not supposed to be there, we bring down and subject it to the power of Jesus Christ, right? 2 Corinthians 4:10 tells us to bring those thoughts in captivity unto the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then His joy comes flooding in and that strength returns. And I believe That's what's going to happen to you in this moment right now. Pastor Alicia, would you please pray over the bread? Go ahead and open your...
Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for the body that you sacrificed for us. We couldn't do anything to earn it. God, we don't deserve what you freely give. But we receive it right now with a grateful heart. And we ask that you continue to do your work of salvation in our hearts, in our minds, in our emotions, and every part of our soul and body and spirit. Continue to work your salvation. And we receive your body right now with thanksgiving. You may eat the bread.
Bible says that when they had ate, he took the cup and said, "This is a sign of a new covenant of my blood." He bled and died to make a new contract and covenant with us. It's an agreement that he made with the Father, that when we would come to the Father through the name of Jesus Christ, that whatever we ask would be done in his name. Let's remember that as we drink this juice. Remember the precious blood of Jesus that flowed. If we need to plead the blood over our minds, over our hearts, then plead the blood. But I believe that strength is going to be renewed. And the Bible teaches us that they were weak. There's many weak among you, is what it said, because we weren't discerning the body and blood. But right now we're discerning. So you're not going to be weak, but you're going to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit as we do this. Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. And we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ that signifies the covenant that you made with humanity. We receive that covenant. We thank you for reconciliation, and we thank you for redemption right now. And God, I just thank you for redeeming relationships right now, God. I thank you for redeeming and saving our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Take and drink. Hallelujah. Now, if you're willing, grab the hand of someone beside you and just begin to pray with them and pray for them. Let's pray one for another as the family of God, coming together, loving on one another in the presence of God Himself as we have communed with God this day. Father, we commune with one another. As we have fellowship with you in your light, we have fellowship one with another. And God, I pray for my brothers and sisters. As their pastors, we give them Jesus right now. Jesus crucified on the cross. Jesus rose again to new life. And in them, the things that are holding them back is being crucified and put to death. And in their lives, Lord, they are being revived to new life. We thank you, God. Right now. We thank you, God, for restoring and redeeming right now. We declare life, the life of Jesus Christ. We're being partakers of your divine nature, Lord. Therefore, no more this natural mind, this natural heart controlling our decisions, controlling our actions. But God, we take upon your divine nature right now. We thank you for the healing of the souls right now, Lord. God, I thank you that you're digging deep. You're opening up chambers of us, Lord, that we have not even known was there. And as hurts come to the surface, as these pains are revealed, God, we know that you're healing them by the power of your blood, by the work that you did on the cross. And instead, God, you are giving us new life. Thank you for the saving of our souls. And I thank you, Lord, that our faith is being manifested right now. Faith is being manifested in our life by the saving of our souls, God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. Come on, church. Just continue to worship him for a few more minutes. Give him praise. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. For your Father would speak to you by the Spirit of God right now and tell you that he understands and knows that there are barriers you have put up in place to guard and protect yourself. But what he wants to reveal to you right now is that those guards, although have protected you from hurt of others, have also caused you not to receive freely from the Father. And so he would say this to you right now. Don't harden your hearts like my people did in the time of the Exodus as I led them through the wilderness. Those were hard times and struggles, and my people hardened their heart towards me. And the Father would say to you, don't harden your heart, but let me come in, says the Lord your God. And soften that stony heart. Make it pliable. Not so that you can be hurt again by others, but so that you can receive the fullness of what I have to give you, says the Lord your God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we open our hearts to you right now. We connect to you in love right now. We receive it, Father, right now. Soften us, Lord. God, we know that you'll protect us. You'll watch over us and you'll keep us. We trust you. We don't have to protect ourselves, God. You will. We trust you, Father. We trust your wisdom. We trust your understanding. We trust your process, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. One more time before we're dismissed, can you just love on Jesus some more? Just raise your hands. Give him praise for what he's doing. This is bigger than just a moment. It's bigger than just a moment right here. God is initiated a work he's going to begin to do and carry out through the rest of this week and into this month. Things you're going to begin to see happen in your life. New perspectives. You're going to see things differently than you used to because God's healing your heart. He's healing your mind. And he's renewing your strength. Your soul is becoming whole once again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that great news? What God's doing in us. We give you glory. We give you praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your blessing that you've commanded over your people in unity. We thank you that it's a life-giving flow from your Spirit. I pray that your people would go forth in life of the Holy Spirit and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that your face would shine upon them and they would live and walk in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. We love you all. You have a wonderful Sunday. Shake hands and be friendly as you leave, just as you came.